Thanks, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, November 21st, 2015. You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Kip Stube. Here are our top stories this evening. An opposition member of parliament says Zimbabwean lawmakers fed up with President Robert Mugabe's 35-year rule can unseat the president if a secret ballot is used in a motion to impeach him.
Most of the MPs we have talked to, they are clear about the idea of impeaching the president only on condition that we do it using the secret ballot.
A Zimbabwean, Patience Malaba, who is currently attached to an American organization catering for the needs of local communities, says her four-month learning experience has been empowering.
I have been able to be involved in the process of building power in communities, and we build this power by making them understand that they have the power to put politicians into positions of power.
And we will also take a closer look at women's issues. Stay tuned. An opposition member of parliament says Zimbabwean lawmakers fed up with President Robert Mugabe's 35-year rule can unseat the president if a secret ballot is used in a motion to impeach him. Godfrey Sithole of MTCT, led by Bonken Tswangirai, claims that there are some ZANU-PF parliamentarians who no longer support the president, saying he is no longer capable of properly running Zimbabwe. According to Section 97 of the Constitution, a president can be removed from office due to physical or mental incapacity. The Senate and the National Assembly need about one-third of the total membership to impeach the president. Sithole tells Studio 7 this is possible if a secret ballot is conducted.
It is actually not under consideration of impeachment, but as you are aware, as opposition MPs, we have fewer numbers compared to the NPS. And most of the MPs we have talked to, they agree about the idea of impeaching the president only on condition that we do it using the secret ballot. But they are also afraid because there is a weakening system which is used as the NPS caucus, whereby people are actually told how they are supposed to vote. And the speaker is now on record on telling members that we shouldn't vote using the secret ballot. People should vote, are actually standing in a queue, those who are against and those who are pro the idea. And that actually exposes most of them. But I'm quite sure and I'm reliably informed that the majority of ZANU-PF MPs, they are also fed up with the current president of Zimbabwe, Mr. Robert Mugabe.
How possible is it, Mr. Sithole, to introduce that motion in Parliament right now?
Yeah, you know, it has its own challenges due to the fact that the Speaker of Parliament is from ZANU-PF and the Deputy Speaker is also from ZANU-PF. But despite both sides, as long as the process is done transparently and the voting is done in a secret way, we are very sure that the audience can be impeached. Because previously, if you check the records, there was a time when we had last memorial in Parliament as the Speaker, and ZANU-PF had 99 MPs, NDC had 98. We went for the secret ballot and we had 110 votes. You see, most of those ZANU-PF MPs, they actually support most of our ideas as long as they are using the secret ballot.
Now, there are security issues around that issue that you're talking about. Are you not scared that if you do that, maybe you can face some serious problems?
Speaking on behalf of even my party, we are a Christian-based party, and we know that God is on our side. Even if anything happens to us, we know that we are doing it for the sake of the generality of Zimbabweans. We are the voice of the voiceless.
That was Godfrey Sithole, MTCT, Member of Parliament for Chitungwiza North, speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. But ZANU-PF senior member Effort Nkomo says Sithole is daydreaming.
I don't see the ground. Because when you look at the Constitution, it will guide you on why, when, or how you can impeach. But those are baseless grounds that anybody can be thinking of.
At the end of the day, they are thinking of really trying to remove the president from power. And according to what we're getting here, there are some parliamentarians in ZANU-PF too who believe that the president is now too old to run Zimbabwe. What's your comment on that?
Well, they should wait for their time. People should learn to be patient and should learn to be appreciative. He's done his stint. If you need to take over from him, wait until he says so, or wait until the party that is leading say so.
So can we assume here, Mr. Nkomo, that your party really backs the president 100%?
Yes, it is.
And when there are some of these kind of, remarks by certain opposition parties, don't you feel that maybe there could be something behind it?
That's something probably that some of us may not be knowing. But, you can't stop people anticipating taking over, positions. Anyone wants to be ambitious, but that's not the right thing to do.
That was ZANU-PF member Effort Nkomo speaking with Studio 7 from Bulawayo. And constitutional law expert Lovemo Matuku says it is impossible for Parliament at the moment to impeach the president.
For you to be able to remove the president as a current parliamentarian, you would need to do it through what is called an impeachment. Just to get the signature for the motion to be debated in Parliament, you need, as said, one third of the total membership of Parliament to be able to introduce a motion for that debate. So the total number of those MPs, the one third number, would, if you are looking at the National Assembly, that is 270 MPs total number, the third of that would be about 90 MPs. We have to sign that sort of petition to have the motion introduced. And then if the motion is debated and you need to vote to remove the president, that vote must be supported by two-thirds of the total membership of Parliament, which includes the Senate. So you'll need to get two-thirds of 270 plus 80, two-thirds of that that kind of number. So you need over 200 and something MPs in the country. And these are MPs that are all drawn from ZANU-PF. I mean, opposition numbers in Parliament have gone down. I mean, if there's anyone from the MDC saying that, I mean, they don't know what they're saying. It was the MDC that recently expelled, I don't know how many MPs, that is about 21 or so, that they removed from Parliament. And then they didn't contest the by-election. So the numbers of opposition MPs in Parliament are almost meaningless.
So at the end of the day, you are really saying this is totally impossible.
It's totally impossible. Completely useless.
That was constitutional law expert Lovemo Matuku, who was speaking as a professional lawyer and not leader of the National Constitutional Assembly Party. A Zimbabwean, Patience Malaba, who is currently attached to a non-governmental organization, One America, catering for the needs of local communities, says her four-month learning experience has been empowering. Malaba speaks to Studio 7 about her training under the Community Solutions Program, run by the International Research and Exchanges Board, on behalf of the Bureau of Educational and Cultural Affairs of the U.S. State Department.
It's really been a great experience for me because I've been able to work with this organization, and their focus is on, I think, essentially on five issues, which are human rights and justice, education, immigration, integration, environmental justice, and economic justice. And in this work, I have been able to be involved in the process of building power in communities, that is, immigrant communities, refugee communities, and communities of color. And we build this power by making them understand that they have the power to put politicians into positions of power and also to take them out of positions of power, and at the same time be able to demand for accountability from those leaders that they put into power. And I've been extensively involved in the election work that the organization was involved in, and the election work involves choosing politicians that identify with the mission of the organization, and that is creating a voice and power for immigrants, communities of color, and refugees. And also just building power of communities by doing voter registration, doing voter education, phone banks, canvassing, and just doing home visits and one-on-one conversations with different people, trying to make them understand how their vote counts.
What else are you learning there?
I've also done advocacy work. And advocacy work here is about approaching the legislative house, which is in Olympia, to try and lobby for issues to be taken into the legislative agenda. So I've been involved in carrying out a research that will also inform some of the legislative issues that will be in the 2016 legislative agenda.
Now, tell us a bit, what do you think you have obtained right now that you think you can implement in Zimbabwe?
It's a skill in building power of communities and just understanding that building power of communities should not be just at community level, but it should also target the different individuals that are in those communities and making sure that each individual within a community understands the value of participating in the electoral process and the value of being civically engaged. And also at the same time, understanding the importance of building the capacity of the people that we elect into power, because there's always an assumption that when people are elected into positions of power, they understand what they should be doing. But there's a need for us to build power in those people to enable them to actually be able to be effective in making policies that are able to transform the lives of people.
Do you think Zimbabwean leaders can be receptive to some of these programs that you're talking about?
Well, Zimbabwean leaders will certainly not be receptive to it. I think that's something that I've heard at the back of my mind, because the democratization process in Zimbabwe is not open. And I think to a larger extent, the ZANU-PF government has been very repressive. It does not allow people to choose leaders of their choice. And as such, those leaders that are in positions do not feel like they owe anything to the people, and which is why it's difficult for us to even demand any sort of accountability for them, because they do not feel like we owe them anything, but they feel like they are more accountable to the person that puts them in that power. I think they will really not be receptive to those kind of ideas, but these are ideas that will encourage openness. These are ideas that will encourage a democratic process that will be more effective in the course of the country.
So knowing that the Zimbabwean authorities won't be too receptive to this, do you have any plan B of actually implementing some of these kind of things?
My plan B will be to try and build more like a coalition of a crop of leaders that identify with this kind of idea.
That was Patience Malaba, a Zimbabwean currently undergoing training in USA, speaking with Studio 7 from Seattle, Washington State. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. As usual, it's now time for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Tonight, we're gladly joined by Ms. Ronica Mumbire, the director of the Zimbabwe Women's Bureau, who will be telling us about some of the work they are doing to assist women in various provinces in the country. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Ms. Mumbire.
Thank you very much.
Tell us about your organization. What kind of services does the Zimbabwe Women's Bureau offer for women?
The Women's Bureau is a women's organization and is into socioeconomic empowerment of women. And basically, we work with women in the issues of agriculture and nutrition, where we are doing things like conservation farming, organic farming, things like climate change and all the other agriculture-related issues. We also do entrepreneurship, doing technical skills, business development trainings, and also internal savings and lending. We also notice that women need money in doing their enterprises. So besides giving them the technical skills, we also try to organize them into groups where they save their money in the small groups and also assist them to register the bigger cooperatives that we call SACCOs or savings and credit cooperatives so that they can access money to assist their enterprises to grow. We are also into research, lobby and advocacy, and also information dissemination. We notice that women don't have information, and we want everything that is happening within the country, the region, the globe, internationally, to also reach the women that we work with.
Where are you actually working? In which areas in Zimbabwe are you currently working in?
We are a national organization, but currently we are active in 20 districts in 9 provinces of Zimbabwe. We have 2, 3, or 4 districts where we are active in.
For women who might want to use your services, where can they find you? How do they get in touch with your organization?
We are located at number 43 Hillside Road. And at this head office of ours, we also have a training center where we use as a place for training the women. And besides training the women at this premises, we also use it as a conference facility. So for those people who may want to be doing their workshops there, we have a conference facility and accommodation and meals that we offer at that same place as well. So we are at number 43 Hillside Road, Cranbourne. Hillside Harare.
Are you available on social media for some who may be socially savvy and who want to contact you on social media?
Yes, we are available on Facebook and also on Twitter. So people can just go on Zimbabwe Women's Bureau and they will get us on Facebook, on our website and on our Twitter. They can find us on 0778-202-209. 0778-202-209.
What words of advice would you have for some women out there who may be contemplating to start a business in this very difficult environment at the moment?
For those women, we encourage them to seek advice on how to start a business. Usually women think that if they see someone in some form of business and their business is viable, they think it's the next thing that they should do. But it doesn't work like that. It has to be also related to the passion and the resources that the one person has, and also the market that is there out there to support the business that they are doing. So they need really to be sure about the type of business that they want to start, and they should start to look for others before they start a business. Look for the market before they start a business.
I was actually going to ask you that question about the market, because a lot of women who we've been talking to have been saying they have the product, but they do not know where to sell and people don't have money to pay. So what do women do faced with such a predicament?
As Zimbabwe Women's Bureau, the women that we work with, we expose them to people that are possible buyers of the things that they produce. For example, we take them to the various platforms or exhibitions. We start even from the ward up to the national level, where we do shows, dry shows, green shows, to the district, to the province, and to the national forums. Even the ZITF, we also take women there so that they are linked to the possible people that could buy them. And we are also currently in the process of coming up with associations for the various produce that are being produced, so that we expose women to the various markets that are available, and also look for markets nationally or at local level or regionally.
Time is not on our side. Thank you very much, Ms. Ronica Mumbire, the director of the Zimbabwe Women's Bureau, for having been our guest on the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye.
Thank you very much.
Don't forget to join me next week when we'll be looking at other issues affecting women.
Thanks very much, Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye. We hope you are going to have a wonderful weekend. And finally, in sports news, Premier Soccer League action resumed this weekend with top teams fighting for the top slot in the league table. Studio 7's Chris Gande speaks with soccer analyst Mozwetu Adebe about some of the league games.
It's quite interesting when you look at it with Chickening just leading by 2 points. They face Harare City at Luveve Stadium. There's no doubt that they will be gunning for maximum points. What they need is just to win that particular match and then never bother themselves about what happens from the other centers. Of course, depending on what happens on other centers, they can actually wrap up things tomorrow. But key to it is the fact that FC Platinum, 2 points behind Chickenin, will be looking forward for a victory and hoping that Chickenin drop a point. On the other hand, Chickenin will be hoping that they can win and the FC Platinum drop a point. But not out of the picture, as many people had concluded, are the reigning champions, Dynamos, who now will be hoping to beat Chapungo, and just hope that Caps United beat FC Platinum, and also the fact that Harare City account for Chickenin, that will put them back very much in the picture ahead of the last round of the fixture. So it's quite interesting when you look at it at the top, but as things stand, it is in the hands of Chickenin. But they've been dropping points of late, drawing, and they will need to beat Harare City to ensure that they are still very much the favorite, although they have a tough fixture away to Flame Lily, who are fighting for relegation.
That was soccer analyst Mozwetu Adebe speaking with Studio 7's Chris Gande from Bulawayo. And now to recap today's top stories. An opposition member of parliament says Zimbabwean lawmakers can unseat President Robert Mugabe if a secret ballot is used in a motion to impeach him. And Zimbabwean is Patience Malaba, who is currently attached to a non-governmental organization, One America, catering for the needs of local communities, says her four-month learning experience in America has been empowering. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Develo with Chris Gande. This is Kip Stube in Washington, D.C. Good night, Zimbabwe.